In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
All right, good morning to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN, your local sports leader. I am Paul Metters, your host, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. Love doing my show here. And one of the main reasons is the location. Obviously, First String Sports, it's the place to be. It's where you get all your sporting goods needs, including the Letterman's jackets. That's where I do my show from, the Letterman's Jacket Room, off to the right-hand side when you walk into the store. I am flanked by all the different schools in the central section, in the Central Valley. To my left, you got Sanger, Madera, that classic blue Sierra High School. Kerman is playing in their state playoff game tonight. Gold Lions, Bullard, and the one that I love to talk about, the Central Selma Woodlake Kalinga combination. They all share the same Letterman's jacket behind me. You got some of the track schools, Clovis North, Clovis West. So thanks to First String Sports for their investment in the lives of young men and women throughout the central section. So very, very, very blessed to be able to do the show from here. All right. We got to do our Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating weather report because we got a lot of stuff to cover in the next 2 hours. We're going to be talking about high school sports, obviously, but a little bit about Fresno State because of the big news that came out 2 days ago. Lots of discussion, lots of water cooler talk, lots of discussion on the airwaves and your TVs and everywhere else in between. So lots of stuff to get into. But thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating for sponsoring 1430 ESPN and all the great shows that are on this station. I don't have to tell you about the fog, right? It's been here since Tuesday. Right now it's 51 degrees. It was very foggy this morning. Looks like it's burned off for the most part today, this morning. And today we do have a high of 66 degrees. So when the sun comes out, I think around 11 o'clock, so maybe in about an hour, sun is going to come out, 66 degrees, going to be very nice, and a little more fog tomorrow. But, you know, where I teach, we had 4 foggy day schedules in a row from Tuesday through Friday. So buses didn't run till like 9:30. I took my daughter yesterday to school at 6:45 in the morning, and it was really bad, probably the worst I've ever seen in the city. And, you know, I could only see about 15 to 20 feet in front of me. You know, all of a sudden the traffic light emerges. I know where all the traffic lights are, so they didn't come up as a surprise. But it was a little freaky out there, man. It was thick and heavy. Like I said, lots of stuff to talk about and to cover today. We're in a bit of a transition period, moving from football to basketball season. Basketball is, you know, going on in the central section. Most teams are about 5 to 6 games in. Lots of tournaments, lots of showcases going around. But, you know, like I mentioned, the big buzz around town is dominated the airwaves. It's Fresno State hiring a new football coach. Matt Ants is his name. He was able to coach USC this last year. Did a great job shoring up their defense. Lincoln Riley, he was very sad to see him go. The players were sad to see him go. He invested a lot into that program in just his 1 year. He was respected by the players. I think I read a quote where one of the guys said, man, I didn't even know if I wanted to come back and play football. And Coach Ants inspired him, put him in the right positions, motivated him. He was very thankful, but very sad to see him leave. Well, who is this guy? We're gonna dive a little bit into that as the show goes along. North Dakota State was very, very successful. Let's just put it that way. 60-11 overall, including 2 national titles, a runner-up finish, and some semifinal and quarterfinal appearances as well. Playoff record overall, 15-3. So pretty darn good. The press conferences, I was impressed. I was impressed with what he had to say. His visions were clear, his goals. He's passionate about the game of football, looked very, very organized, very well-spoken, you know, kind of a bigger guy, right? What, 52 years old is what I saw. So he's been around a while. He's been waiting for this opportunity. I am excited about the hire. However, let's flip it, right? The other side, we got Tim Skipper, interim coach. Did he have a fair shot at getting the job? I'm going to be talking with that with Phil Bonatti at the bottom of hour number two. Did he really get a fair shot? Right? New athletic director coming in. Doesn't have any real ties to Coach Skipper, right? And we love Coach Skipper. We love him. We love him as a Central Valley. He is a bulldog through and through. We saw that throughout the year, right? They finished 6-6. Was there some games they could have won? Absolutely. Absolutely. Every time he's interviewed, he's always positive, always had a smile on his face, right? And he's one of those players that we grew up watching. His name goes a long way. The last name, Skipper. What a great last name. Fit his personality. We remember when he played linebacker, just how tough he was. Undersized, but an absolute gamer. We love those kind of guys. We fall in love with them. When he comes back to where he played football, assistant coach, and then gets to be the head coach, right? We root for him. And you can see that with everybody's comments, alumni comments, right? Saw David Carr say, man, I thought Skip was the man for the job. Financially, there's some ramifications for this. Let's be honest. There are a lot of upset people that thought it should have been Tim Skipper. All right? If they would have went 10-2, 8-4, beat UCLA, right, would Skipper be named the head coach? Very possible. Very possible. So lots more to talk about that. Just a little intro. I got more thoughts on the subject, and it's a hot topic, right? Football is near and dear to everybody's heart. We're seeing that today with all the championship games. But, yeah, lots more to dive into. We'll talk with Phil Bonatti more about that. All right, so after the break, we've got Gabe Camarillo coming on. I love Gabe. He does a fantastic job for Fox 26. He's one of my partners in crime throughout the last 3-4 years. Diving into high school sports. He was at the Kalinga game last night. Kalinga lost 33-31. Their 14-0 season came to an end. He was there. He made the drive. And if you guys haven't looked at a map lately, how far Kalinga is, it's a drive, man. West side, for sure. So talk about that game a little bit more. There's, four games tonight. Talking about high school state playoffs with the chance to go to a state championship game next week. So after Gabe, I got Tony Admonson talking about that transition from football to basketball. He's the head basketball coach at Clovis North. The boys' side, we know what they did last year. Incredible run they had, D1 Central Section champs. Well, they got their Valley Children's tip-off tournament that's been for the last 2 days. I've been to all the night games the last 2 nights. They made it to the championship game with a win last night against Santa Barbara High. Always great when Tony comes in and shares his thoughts about high school basketball. And we'll talk about his team, man. They got a good squad coming back again. Probably not as good as last year, but really, really, really strong team. We're talking with Tony. Always great to catch up with him. The top of hour number two, continuing with high school basketball, Paul Hernandez. He joins us. He's going to talk about the top boys teams in the Central Section. He does a great job ranking them. He has a 1-20 list. He does a fantastic job ranking players, letting us know who's out there. We'll be talking with him for about, 20-22 minutes. Always great to chat with him. And then at the bottom of the hour, I told you guys already, Phil Bonatti is going to come on, and we're going to talk about Coach Entz, Coach Skipper, who I'm 98% sure he's going to be coaching the bowl game. I think we're going to find out in the next couple days where the Dogs are going to land. But, going to dive deeper into Tim Skipper. Also chat about high school football. We just wrapped up last week our 15-week run of broadcasting games on 1430 ESPN. We'll talk about some of his highlights, some of the things that caught his attention throughout the year. And he did a great job with our 1430 ESPN Student Athletes of the Week. And I'm hopeful that you guys were able to follow that throughout the entire year. Phil does his show on Thursdays from Fashion Furniture, and he brings in the coaches and our Athlete of the Week that we vote on. We put our input in. They have to have a 3.0 GPA. They get this big old, check, right? and it says student athlete of the week, they could put that at their school or in their bedroom, wherever they want to put it. The cool thing is at the end of the year, we're going to have a banquet, and all the recipients of the student athlete of the week are going to meet. Banquet, we're going to choose one student to be our student athlete of the year. They're going to get a scholarship. We're going to be raffling off iPads. It's going to be a cool deal. Great deal. And we're going to be talking about some of his favorite moments throughout the season. And also, I want to add, we are going to be broadcasting at least 10 regular season games. Talking about basketball, boys and girls basketball. We have a list already. Not set in stone, but we got a pretty good list of where we're going to be. And we're going to be hitting a lot of the schools around the central section. We're not going to be Clovis-centric. Right, we're going to hit some of the rural schools and some Fresno Unified schools as well. So really, really excited about high school basketball this year. Speaking of basketball, Clovis West girls, they have their showcase every year. A great, great day of basketball today. Carruthers is playing. I tell you what, Carruthers coming off of that state championship, they are better than last year. That is scary. I think, and I'm going to watch them today at 2. I think they're the second best team, talking about the girls, in the central section behind Clovis West. That's how good they are. Also, Clovis West has their great Nike shootout next week from Wednesday through Saturday. Those games are all preset. We're going to do at least one of those games. If you are hungry for some high school basketball, tonight Clovis North is going to be playing Cardinal Newman in the championship of their tip-off. Clovis West girls got some good stuff going on as well. So no lack of action up until Christmas for high school sports in the central section. Of course, all those great college football games today. We're going to find out Sunday about the championship bowl series, the tournament, whatever you want to officially call it. So excited about that. So let me get to this before we take a break. We advanced two teams last night to a state championship game. I mentioned that heartbreaking loss for Coalinga. They had a field goal attempt. I think it was 39 yards with about a minute and a half left, and the kick was blocked. They were out of timeout, so that was the end of the game there. But what a magical season for the Horned Toads. And, yes, they were voted the number one mascot in the entire nation, the Horned Toads. That's fantastic. So their season comes to an end, but congrats to them with their D4 title and advancing. I guess they didn't advance, but they lost. They lost in the semifinal game before the state playoffs, but the state championship. But great job by Coalinga. So the other two teams that made it. So Frontier of Bakersfield in Division III AA, they blew out Murrieta Mesa last night, 39-7. So let's play Friday at 8 o'clock. And congrats to the Lindsay Cardinals. They defeated Chatsworth 35-20. They're going to play in the D7 AA championship game next week. They're going to be facing Moreau Catholic on Friday at 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock. So those Cardinals, man, they entered the playoffs in the central section at 5-5, and they're going to be playing in a state championship game. A couple things, and we're going to be talking with Gabe about this. So tonight, the big one at Central, St. Ignatius at 6 o'clock. So not 7 o'clock, but 6 o'clock at Collegian Stadium in Division 1A. I think Central's got a really good shot at advancing. Most likely I'm going to be checking that game out live and in person. In Division 2A, Bakersfield Christian is at Palos Verdes at South Torrance High School. That game is going to be played at 7 o'clock. I mentioned the Frontier win, the Coalinga loss. Kerman and Sonora, Division 4A at Sonora, it's today at 6. They're going to be playing the winner. Check this out, guys. The winner of St. Augustine and St. Pius X, St. Matthias. And that school played Buchanan in the first game of the year. Buchanan whooped them 38-0. The reason why I'm bringing that up, if Kerman wins, they'll play the winner of that game. No joke. In the regular season, both of those teams were 1-19. You heard that right. 1-19 in the regular season. And one of those teams is going to be playing for a state championship. Isn't that crazy? Competitive equity, huh? Right? Neither of those teams would have advanced in our central section. We have a 30% win percentage you got to have to go to the playoffs. But those guys, 1-19, obviously they played in a tougher league, got sent down like our section does. Guys, it's not just us. Got sent down and got hot, won some football games, and there they are. So that's pretty wild, isn't it? And Selma, they're also playing tonight, Division 5A at Palmdale at 6 o'clock. Yep, that's a wrap. I mentioned Lindsay's win, and they are in the state championship game. All right, enough from me. When we come back from the break, we're going to be hearing from Gabe Camarillo. He was at the Kalinga game. We'll talk about those other high school matchups that are going on tonight as well. You're listening to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Help. Pretty funny that intro is help. And I always love Gabe's help because Gabe's got eyes everywhere. He does a fantastic job right now for Fox 26 as a sports broadcaster, Gabe Camarillo. Love bringing him on the show. We're going to be talking some high school football playoffs. Gabe, so has the fog burned off where you're at right now? And do you have any fog driving to Kalinga last night?
No fog driving to Kalinga, but my goodness, Paul, it was the thickest fog I've ever seen. And I don't say that lightly because I've driven from Los Baños in the middle of the night, this time of year. This was thicker than that. And even now, I'm in Eastern California watching Chris Jeffries work out some young athletes, former NBA player. And I have to say, it's still here. The fog didn't even leave when I went to sleep tonight.
Oh, my God. That's wild. I mean, I can remember the fog being so bad. In my opener, I talked about taking my daughter at 6:45 yesterday morning, and it was the thickest I've ever seen in Fresno City. But man, you know, I grew up in Dinuba and driving around all those areas, the Selmas and, you know, Carruthers, and being stupid out there. And I remember sometimes the fog would be so thick in the Central Valley, have to roll down your window and look for the yellow lines on the left-hand side to make sure you were still on the dang road. So that's how serious the fog can be in the central section. But you took the drive to Kalinga, and I was able to watch the second half online. And gosh, man, just Kalinga matched their physicality. I know it was a physical game, but Kalinga had a shot to win the football game, but it was blocked at I think about a minute and a half left to play. But what a really, really good football game last night. But heartbreak for Kalinga.
Yeah, it was a good game. About six lead changes. Kalinga got out to an early lead, but you saw how Highland was playing was going to give Kalinga some challenges. First of all, they were going no huddle. So, you know, as a reporter, I'm here trying to get video of the game, and it's hard for me to catch up with Highland because they're running plays at such a high speed. I can only imagine what it's like for a Kalinga defensive coordinator trying to give out calls, trying to give, you know, some advice to his athletes as they're having to defend a play every 7 seconds. So I think Highland running a no-huddle attack definitely helped them go out to a 14-7 lead. But when Kalinga tied the game at 14, I felt like that was huge for the Horned Toads to start the second half with some momentum. And then Highland takes a big run to the end zone for a 21-14 lead. And at that point, I thought maybe this game could be over because, you know, Highland just takes the air out of the stadium. It was a packed house at Kalinga High. Nope. You know, Kalinga's able to match that. They score 10 unanswered to get 24-21 lead going into the fourth quarter. And then we just saw both teams trade haymakers. It was truly both teams giving it their all, knowing that this was potentially the last game of their season. For some of them, last games of their career was on the line here. So I thought that this game was a special one when right after Kalinga took a 27-24 lead, I thought, okay, 6 minutes left, can Kalinga's defense make a stop? 15 seconds later, Highland's on top with a 70-yard touchdown pass. That's when this game went from just being a great game to being an all-time game that a lot of Kalinga fans will still talk about. Even though they lost, as you said, the blocked field goal at the end, they're still going to talk about that game fondly because Highland's this team that comes from Palmdale and has all these athletes. And, you know, you could argue the team from L.A. should blow out the team from Kalinga in a movie. But this was a real-life situation where Kalinga was just as athletic, just as fast, just as strong as Highland. They were just truly one play short of winning this game.
Yeah, that touchdown, you know, that was, he got behind the defense, and I think the announcer said they've only thrown deep maybe two times before that play, so surprised them a bit. But what a great season for the Horned Toads, winning the Division IV Central Section title. High school football, man, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat could rip your heart out, but what a great season for Kalinga this year. And how about Lindsay? right? 5-5 to start the playoffs. They're going to be playing for a state title. They weren't even on my radar, Gabe. I think until, like, their second win in the playoffs, I'm like, okay, let's see how far Lindsay could go. And now they're playing for a state title. How cool is that? Another one-school town that does great things and makes a run and could win a state championship.
Yeah, they had a tough league. They played against Strathmore and Corcoran, and speaking of, you know, moments in time where we realize that something is greater than we realize, when Lindsay blew out Corcoran 42-2 in the semifinal in the section playoffs, same team that gave Lindsay problems in the regular season, I thought, okay, Lindsay's playing at a higher level. They have gotten better as the year has gone on, and I really think it's because of their new head coach, Marcus Alonso, instilling faith, firing up the kids, getting the most out of them. He's doing a fantastic job leading this team. Also, the Cortez brothers. I saw, I think it was Jose Cortez that was named the Cal High Sports Player of the Week.
Yeah.
His brother Ethan is another really good running back. So those that duo of running backs, both brothers live in the same house. I think that's a cool storyline as well for this team. But also, you know, another example of a small rural California town going up against a school from L.A., and this one ended up a lot different because it wasn't close. Lindsay dominated that game from what the final score indicates.
Yeah, 35-20 wins, so state championship next week for the Lindsay Cardinals. Congratulations to those guys. All right, I want to talk about Central in just a second, but let's talk about Kerman and their magic run that they've made with Coach Jenkins, obviously, and Adrian Torres, and you know, I had some of the guys on the show last week, and great guys, great football players, obviously. But it's going to be a tough sledding. I don't know how much we know about Sonora, but they got quite a drive. It's probably going to be cold. I'm anticipating a lot of smash-mouth football. But why not the Lions, man? Those guys just seem to make play after play to win football games.
Yeah, it was another close game last week against Madera. And when it was a close game in the second half, I think it was tied at the start of the fourth quarter, I thought to myself, oh, Kerman has it, because they've won so many games in that type of situation where, you know, against Porterville the week before, they take it to overtime, win on a walk-off field goal. I think week before that, they won by a point at Garza. And then last year, we obviously know, we talked about all the crazy plays they made in their run to this championship game. And then this year, they actually won the championship game. So I agree, why not the Lions? They've kind of showed us that when it's the fourth quarter and it's time to make a play, they will make that play. And I think maybe that was something that Kalinga didn't really have, was that experience in the state playoffs that maybe other schools have had. So that could be the only thing that holds Kerman back. Since they are, as well, the first-time champions of the section in a very long time. I feel like going to the state playoffs, it's always the team that can stay focused and not get distracted by, you know, the rightful joy of winning a section title championship. With the state playoff system, it's really challenging for some of these champions to refocus on winning another championship. But if Kerman can do it, they definitely have the talent to win.
I agree, and I think their run defense is really, really strong. They did a great job, you know, against Madera. And, yeah, I think, you know, never count out the Lions and Coach Jenkins. All right, so let's talk about the Central Grizzlies. They're playing St. Ignatius tonight at 6 at Collegian Stadium. I just got a feeling, Gabe. This is just me and knowing the Central program pretty darn well and how Coach Biggs and his staff get the guys ready. I think they're going to win it all, right? Obviously, they got to win tonight, but I just got one of those feelings that Central's going to win a state championship this year. What are your thoughts on that? I think all the players, all the pieces are in place again.
Well, they'd be a really, really good Clovis East team, and it wasn't like it was an upset. Maybe it was for some people, but a lot of us who knew Central knew that because of how close that game was the first time against East, the second time could be Central's to win, and it was. And beating one of the top 15 teams in the state does inspire confidence that this Grizzlies team can go on a run. My only hesitation is that St. Ignatius, doing some reading on them, they've won a lot of comeback games themselves. They have called themselves the Cardiac Cats. St. Ignatius Wildcats, because they can come back from any deficit at any point of the game. So if Central goes up big, I don't expect St. Ignatius to be frazzled by that or, you know, intimidated by coming to Collegian Stadium. Maybe they'll be intimidated driving home in the fog, but I still think that St. Ignatius has a lot of talent. They're the best team in San Francisco. And that, I love these storylines, Paul. Our underdog, quote-unquote, Central Section teams going up against the big school teams from L.A., from San Francisco. But Central's hardly an underdog in anyone's mind because of the runs they made in the state playoffs. And that's what they're going to have to lean on to win this game. Kyle Biggs is going to have to somehow parlay the experience he had with the Trent Tompkins and Jameson Silva teams to this young Central team with a sophomore starting quarterback and 11 starting sophomores around the field. But if he can somehow do that and not let them be intimidated by St. Ignatius' size, because they are pretty big, then I guess we'll see Central potentially win. I am more hesitant on the Central state championship expectation than you are, but I can see it happening if Biggs is able to, you know, make up for the inexperience of his team.
And they got a closer in Brandon Smith, the running back. He's definitely a weapon. Are you gonna be at that game, right, Gabe?
Yes, I will be.
All right, you'll be patrolling the sidelines. All right, a couple more thoughts here, Gabe. I want to leave a couple minutes at the end. Just your quick synopsis of the Fresno State new head coach situation. But what was your favorite? I know there's still games to be played, but just kind of the games that have been played already. What's been your favorite storyline this year in high school football?
It's been quite a few. I like that Don Arax was able to lead CVC without Bryson Donaldson, without a lot of senior starters from last year, to the Central Section Championship game. I think they lost to a really good Bakersfield Christian team that has a great chance to win today at Palos Verdes in the state playoffs. I also like the Kerman and Kalinga storylines, two teams that have had playoff heartbreak and then finally broke through. But in terms of a non-championship-related storyline, I like the track this year. The track was so good, and we saw entertaining games every week between Clovis and Clovis East, and Central had some good games against East and North. So I think overall just the track being so strong as it was good for the area because we got to see entertaining high school football every week of October.
All right. So I left a few minutes, Gabe, to talk about Fresno State. I spent about 5 minutes in my opener with a few thoughts. I'm going to be diving in deeper with Phil Bonatti around 11:30 about the situation. I saw the press conference. I saw all the heavy hitters asking questions, you and Scott Bemis and Stephen Hicks. I was pretty impressed with Matt Entz. I think he has a vision. I think he has structure. On the flip side, and we're going to be diving more into this, Tim Skipper, right, just feel really bad for him. He is a bulldog through and through. So, I mean, spend a couple minutes, Gabe, just kind of, you know, your what you can gather information-wise about coach, about Skipper, about you know, how the hiring process went. Just kind of like give us a synopsis of your ideas and thoughts about the situation.
Yeah, I think this is the hire that Classy made on not only his own, but on in the best interest of Fresno State football. He told me in a one-on-one interview that this was not because he wants to have his own hire or make his signature on this program. It was something that he did because he has the right to. You know, he's not going to listen to alumni that are campaigning for Skipper. He's going to listen to his committee. He's going to listen to the men that he consulted to make the decision, DeBoer, Pat Hill, Jeff Tedford. And I think it's good that an athletic director doesn't cave into what the alumni want and what the players want. A lot of players are outspoken on social media saying, we want Skip. You know, literally, that's what they said on social media. Arsenal said that. And the thing is, right, players play for 2 to 4 years. This hire is a five-year contract, and the implications of Madden being Fresno State head coach won't go beyond that, obviously, when even when he's gone for Fresno State, whatever that is. And it could be 2 years from now, it could be 10 years from now. There's no way of knowing. And I think that's why some people have wanted Skipper to be the head coach, because they see him as staying for 10 to 15 years. I just don't think, objectively, he didn't do enough in this season to warrant staying. A 6-6 record is a 6-6 record. No one was happy with it. If you're a Fresno State fan, you went from going 10 wins every year to being mediocre at 6-6. And there were winnable games on this schedule. And you could look at maybe player performance as part of that. You know, some mistakes made in the Washington State game or the Hawaii game. But the consistent trend that we saw this season was lack of second half execution. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who to blame for that. You could blame players, you can blame coaches, but someone has to take the fall. And it won't be the players because the players are all leaving. Mike Keane, Malik Sherrod, Raylan Sharp, Jalen Moss, they're all leaving now, so there's no way to hold them accountable. So I feel like this was a way to hold Tim Skipper accountable and get some new blood in there because, yeah, 6-6, I mean, the Pat Hill teams were full of talent. Don't get me wrong. There were a lot of good players that come from that era. But the reality is they had, I would say, one or two special seasons during the Pat Hill era. 2001, we could argue 2004 was a special year when they beat Kansas State and Washington State and then Virginia in the Computers Bowl. Besides that, is there a memorable season that Pat Hill had sticking with a coach that will at best get you 9 or 10 wins, right? I don't know how many 10-win seasons Pat Hill had. Jeff Tedford was a consistent 10-game winner, but Jeff Tedford isn't, you know, your everyday coach. That was a unicorn for Fresno State, getting an experienced college coach who can turn around a program like he did at Cal, like he did at Fresno State. What this hire reminds me of is Kalen DeBoer, the other coach who has had 10-win seasons at Fresno State. Only one, because he was so good that he left here after 2 years. But a guy who had success at a lower level. And you could argue, you know, North Dakota State, he inherited a dynasty from Craig Bull and Chris Klieman. He still had to maintain that dynasty. He still had to coach guys like Christian Watson and Trey Lance and three starting NFL offensive linemen. He had to coach them up and develop that talent. Then he comes to USC, and from what I've heard from USC guys that I've talked to, he was a home run hire for Lincoln Riley's staff, yeah. A guy who made Riley better. Riley said so himself. Made the defense better from one of the worst in the country to respectable. So there's a lot of like on that end, and that's not to take away from Tim Skipper. But you have to say that what Ent has done in his career as a head coach at USC was more impressive to Garrett Klasse than what Tim Skipper did this past season and in his previous years as a coach. And so I have no doubt that Skipper's going to catch on somewhere else, but this was the right hire for Fresno State for the reasons I listed. Does Fresno State want to be mediocre, or does Fresno State want to be a winner? That's what it came down to, and Klasse made the decision that reflected that.
All right, Gabe. Good stuff, as always. Thanks for your opinions on that. Appreciate you greatly. I'll probably see you tonight. It's like an 87% chance I'm going to be there, so I'll hopefully see you tonight, and good luck to the Central Grizzlies. Thanks, my friend.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
All right. We're going to bring up Tony Adamson, the head boys basketball coach at Clovis North, after the break on 1430 ESPN. All right, we got Tony Adamson, the boys basketball coach at Clovis North, on the line right now, defending D1 Central Section champs. Currently 5-0 after defeating Santa Barbara High last night, 83-58. They're going to be playing in the championship game of their Valley Children's tip-off against Cardinal Newman. I believe the game starts at 5 o'clock. Yep, 5 o'clock tonight. So good morning, Tone. Always great to catch up with you. How are you doing this morning?
Fantastic. Thanks for having me on, Paul.
Absolutely. All right. So do you guys do, obviously, a lot of basketball the last couple of days? You've had night games. Do you guys do a shoot around this morning, or do you try to get any shots up, or you just let the kids try to recover and then play ball at 5?
We just got done doing the shoot around just now.
All right. So Santa Barbara last night, it was a 1-point game at halftime. And obviously when you play a Clovis North team, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get a lot of action up and down. It's going to be a fast-paced game. You got to be in shape. You guys really tightened up the screws in that second half and wore them down. When did you kind of see, like, okay, now we see a little crack here. We need to take advantage of that. What part of the basketball game last night?
Well, we told the guys that they weren't very deep, but their top players were all very good players. And especially Luke Cefalato, you know, has 3 Division I offers, and he's a really, really good player and a good passer. One of the things that we tried to emphasize early was taking away the long pass, and we didn't do a great job of that in the first half. And I thought as the second quarter went along, we did a little bit better of that. And then the second half, we did a very good job of that. And so I think them having to grind against us on offense and not getting so many easy baskets I think it hurt their flow a little bit, and then we kept having our runs, and then finally we kind of broke them a little bit and separated and came out on top. Our kids did a great job in the second half.
No, I thought so. Yeah, and they played, you know, offensively they played pretty good, especially in that second half. Lucas Jones finished with 26. Your son McKay had 19. Eli Gish with 18. What did you like about those three guys' performance?
Well, I, to be honest, I think that's the first time all three have had, like, a really good game. You know, like, all three of them played very well. It's just good because, you know, I kind of felt that way. I go, you know, I don't think we've really played a good game yet this year. And, you know, we're 4-0 going into this game. And then finally, I think things kind of clicked. And all three of them played very, very well. And when I say played a great game, I meant, like, shooting performances, too.
Sure.
Like, we were a lot more efficient last night. They still do all the other things wonderfully, even when they don't have a good shooting game. They're all three great defenders. And, you know, to me, I think all three are college-level players. So anytime you got three guys that are, you know, probably going to play in college, you're going to have a pretty darn good high school team.
Then Lucas is a senior, and McKay and Eli are juniors. And Lucas broke the three-point record, I think in that first game, right, against Simi Valley, broke the three-point record.
Yes, he did.
And he beat Connor Adamson, your son. So, and I know it stays in the family, right? I know you're close with the Jones family. Dad, John, is one of your assistants. He's your lead assistant. Let's focus on some the other guys, right? I actually want to get back to those three kids in just a second. But you got some really good players out there that know their roles, that play hard defense or can hit the open three. They all pick their spots. They know exactly what to do. So who are some guys on your team that that do an excellent job as well?
Well, so one of the big things that we tell them, no matter who you are, star in your role, whatever that role is, and our team is the epitome of doing a fantastic job of that. You know, obviously the other two guys that have been starting, Nolan Birchall and Armand Arisian, do a fantastic job of that on both ends of the floor. And then Josh Padilla is an incredible asset because he does those things, but then he's got an innate ability to get paint touches. He's very good and very crafty and can kind of get in there and make the defense have to help. And then he finds guys or he goes and scores. And then obviously he's doing, you know, everything on the defensive end. Jaleel Montgomery and Kirk Oliver have been doing a great job at the four coming off the bench. Titan Lawrence is doing a fantastic job as well. Cloud Lorente had a really good game 2 days ago. And, you know, so just different guys picking stuff each night. And like I said, all of them do a great job of starring in their role. And then even Fidel Chen last night had an unbelievable chase down block late in the game, too. You know, just everybody's contributing and doing a fantastic job.
That's one of the hallmarks of your program, talking with Tony Adamson, the head boys basketball coach at Clovis North. All right, so let's get back to your big three, Lucas and McKay and Eli. They all have different skill sets. Eli's 6 foot six. McKay is an excellent ball handler who got to the rim very well last night, and you said he's done a much better job than last year getting to the rim. He can hit threes as well. And then Lucas Jones is a, you know, 6 foot two, a shooter, can get to the rim as well. So the skill set, all three of those guys are different, but when they are clicking together, it's a thing of beauty, isn't it?
It absolutely is. It creates problems for the other team because, you know, it's easy to focus in on one guy. I shouldn't say easy, but it's still always a challenge, but it's much easier to focus on one guy than it is focusing on three, right? And so sometimes you kind of pick your poison and, you know, if you do a great job on, you know, McKay, then Lucas and Eli are going to go off, or maybe you do a good job on two guys, but then the other guy steps up and has a big night. And that's kind of what's happened so far this season is, you know, each one of them has done their job and kind of carried us a little bit as far as the offensive scoring part of it. And, you know, but then last night we had all three have a big night, which was good.
And you're going to need a big night for your entire team. You're playing in the championship game against Cardinal Newman at 5 o'clock. They beat Bullard last night. It was a tight game until Cardinal Newman pulled away in the last, like, 45 seconds or so. But what type of problems does Cardinal Newman present? I've seen, you know, they could, decent from the outside. They got a kid, I think, 33, who is undersized, but that guy plays really hard defense and is a rebounder. So what kind of problems do you guys present to you tonight?
Well, Travis Taylor is an incredible coach. He does a great job with his kids. He actually brought a lot of those kids out to my youth tournament a few years ago when they were all eighth graders. So I'm actually familiar with some of these kids. And he's got good players, and he runs a good program, and he's a great coach. Yeah, you're exactly right. 33, I think, could be an unbelievable linebacker if he played football.
Yeah.
but he's a good, great basketball player, too. He's just high basketball IQ. He does all the little things. He never gives up. I call him the second coming of Jordan Espinoza because he gets every loose ball, every rebound. And no matter how hard you try to block him out, he never quits. He spins, swim moves, does a good job. And then number two for them, I think his last name is – I can't remember what the last name. I don't want to butcher it. But number two for them is 6'4 guard. He's a very good scorer, good player. He can score at all three levels. And then they have good ball handlers. And they run stuff. It's going to be a good game.
No, I agree. Again, 5 o'clock tonight in their Valley Children's Hospital tip-off. How many years, Tony, have you been running the tournament?
This is our 10th year.
10th year. And I know in the past, COVID really put a damper as far as you guys visiting the kids at the hospital. I know that was a huge deal for you guys, really, really cool moments for that. But fortunately, COVID put a damper on that situation, not able to visit the kids anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I've always had a big heart for anybody that takes care of kids, right? That's why I'm in education. But, Valley Children's, initially when I did it, I knew about Valley Children's, and I learned a lot about it through Rob Saroyan and our partnership. He does an amazing job for that hospital. But it didn't hit home quite as much until McKay became deathly ill. He became sepsis. He had a bacterial infection in his blood, and he was in the hospital for 11 days at Valley Children's. And they took such good care of my son. They saved his life. And so Valley Children's has a whole new meaning for me now.
Oh, absolutely. And, I've heard numerous stories of parents that have to take their children to Valley Children's Hospital and the wonderful care that's there. So I'm super happy that the tournament's still going and that they're a huge sponsor in it as well. All right, Tony, we've got a couple minutes. So we mentioned Connor a little bit. Your son is playing at Dartmouth. He is a freshman there. He's starting. Obviously, a lot of people are following him, and, man, the kid is playing really good basketball. So are you able to watch all the games on stream, right, and able to check in with him every once in a while?
Yeah, all of his games are on ESPN+. They're actually in Chicago right now. They play against UIC tomorrow. So they're gearing up for that. They're already there. And he's doing a great job. He's actually leading the team. For a while there, he was leading the whole Ivy League in assist-to-turnover ratio. And, it's just a dream for us, for him to live his dream, we're happy for him. And he loves it there. And he loves the coaches. He loves his teammates. And he loves the school. So it's been a great experience for him.
And it's not surprising that he does an amazing job there so far. Do you have anything planned? Are you going to be able to check him out in person or not this year?
I won't be able to. I'll be watching them all online. Just with our schedule, it's too hard. There's no moments for me to get away, and I'm not going to miss our practices. My practices, are more important than the games. That's where we do most of our learning. Which prepares us for the games, so I would never miss practice. But, my wife is actually going to go out and watch them. There's going to be a doubleheader when they play Cornell, and, we got AK Okereke at Cornell, so Connor and AK will be playing against each other, and my wife will be there at Dartmouth to watch them play.
That's fantastic. We got about another minute here. So, Tony, what are some other tournaments that you guys are playing in during the month of December before league hits at the beginning of January?
So we'll be at the Gridley. It's a long-standing tournament. The whole community gets out and supports it, and they have some, like most of the top teams in Northern California, go to that tournament, and it's broadcast on NorCal Sports TV. They do an amazing job with that tournament, high-level competition. You know, we love that, so I feel like it gets us ready for league play and playoffs when you play against top teams like that. And then we'll go to the Mission Prep tournament, the Holiday Christmas Classic, and they do a good job of running that tournament. It's always a lot of fun for our guys. And then we'll finish up with the Classic at Damien, and we got put into the top bracket, the Platinum Division, and we opened, and that's a monster of a tournament.
Yeah.
I think two teams in that tournament are ranked top 10 in the country right now, so in our bracket. So, but we open with Los Alamitos, and it's going to be interesting to play them because they run kind of our style of play. They get up and down and shoot a lot of threes, and they got a lot of good players, and they're well coached. So that'll be a fun tournament as well.
Well, great stuff as always, Coach. Congratulations on making it to the championship tonight, and good luck the rest of the year. We'll catch up with you soon enough, but good luck and have a good Christmas, my friend.
Yeah, one other note, too. You know, Lucas last night surpassed 1,000 points for his career as well. So congratulations, Lucas Jones.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's a really good player. All right, Tony, we'll catch up soon. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Paul.
All right, we're going to be talking more hoops after the break on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist.
Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue, the east side of Blackstone, in between Sierra and Herndon. I do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room, and hey, it never fails. Doesn't matter the time of day. There's always families in here getting their Letterman's jackets sized, worked on, patches put on, customized it, all that good stuff. So come on down here, First String Sports. They are my day one sponsors. I've done every one of my shows. This is my fourth year here at First String Sports. So definitely love these guys over here. If you guys miss any part of the show, you can go back to 1430ESPNFresno.com under podcast, Central Valley Sports Report. Go back and listen to any show, all the archive shows. Man, I've had some really fun guests on my show. Heck, I have Tom Goodwin, Fresno State superstar baseball player, World Series champion, Stephen Vogt. Yeah, Stephen Vogt, the AL Manager of the Year for the Cleveland Guardians. That was a really good conversation 2 years ago. Many, many conversations that are near and dear to my heart. And I love talking to our next guest every year, at least twice during the year, because he hits the pavement so hard for boys basketball. He travels everywhere. I mean everywhere. He goes up and down the state, keeping track of the Central Section teams, players to watch, and all of that good stuff. His name is Paul Hernandez, nothingbutnethoops.com. Paul, fun running into you once this year, and I'm glad we set up this conversation to talk about boys basketball here in the Valley. So how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, sir. I'm doing well, yeah. Hey, just real quick, am I clear on your end?
Yes, absolutely. We got you.
Okay, cool. It's a little choppy on my side. I was just making sure it's not a two-way thing. So,
well, maybe it's
going really good.
I was just going to say maybe it's the fog, man. The fog's burning off here. How's the fog down there in Bakersfield?
It's burned off. Yes.
Okay, good.
It's pretty intense early, and it successfully is burned off and it's making its way towards you guys, I think, at this point. So, yeah, man, everything's going well. You know, good start to the season. Obviously, we're already kind of a couple weeks in, and it's been fun. It's been fun so far with some good games, some good teams, and an exciting basketball season ahead of us.
Yeah, and, you know, football season, you know, as far as dominating the media, it gets a lot of attention, right? And I'm asked all the time, baseball, football, basketball, what do you like? And baseball is my favorite sport. I love it dearly. But to me, basketball, there's nothing like it. You're in a controlled environment. You're in the gym. I've experienced just the great community the last couple of days hanging out at Clovis North, eating their food in the hospitality room. Man, that was always a lot of fun. But just mingling with guys, you know, running to guys like you and assistant coaches if they're waiting for a game and chatting with them, you know, guys that you played, you know, high school with or maybe even college with or, you know, floating around in gyms and watching games. It's the community aspect of basketball. To me, it's just, it's different, isn't it?
I agree. I think you hit it on the nose. It's the intimacy of the environment, right? Football is a field. The fans are separate. Baseball, you know, unless you're a diehard baseball fan or have a kid playing, you know, it's usually, especially in the Central Valley, it's the warmer time slash hot, you know, heat out there. It's long games. So I really do feel like just the elements of being in the gym, that kind of environment just allows itself for some intimacy that you don't necessarily get in the other big sports. And I agree with you, man. I enjoy being at the HOC Classic a couple of weeks ago, you know, just running into people you haven't seen in a while or haven't seen since last year. There's just always, especially early in the year, you know, there's a lot of, I think, everyone's hyped for the season. There's a lot of continuity across. The tensions haven't risen too much yet. You know what I mean? So I feel like early on, especially, everyone's just – it's just a good environment. I agree with you. I think it's just it's the closeness of being in that gym, and it's too cold to be outside anyways at night. So
yeah, and sometimes that walk from your car in the parking lot to the gym, man, you're freezing, and you're like, I can't wait to get in this gym. And, yeah, sometimes you got to take your jacket off. It gets so hot in some gyms. All right, yeah. so let's talk about some of these teams. Do a fantastic job with your rankings. And, guys, believe me, they're not just rankings with how many wins and losses. I mean, they are in-depth talking about the players and all that good stuff that you'd come to expect from Paul. All right, so I want to do something a little bit different. And me and my buddy last night, we went to the games. We were talking about how we liked rankings done. Sometimes I don't like to start with number one. I like to build up to it. So let's start with, like, your number five team, and then we'll go 4-3-2-1 until we hear from your top team. But who's your number five team? Who do you got?
So starting out the season, I did some preseason rankings, and I'm going to update them next week. But I'm going to kind of I think my top five will stay the same. And at number five, I have Clovis East, the Timberwolves. I really like – they lost a few seniors, but also I feel like they're bringing in a freshman that, in my opinion, if not the top freshman in the section, definitely a top two or three. I just like they have different pieces. But that's who I have. I don't know if you had any questions you wanted to ask or if you wanted me to just kind of elaborate.
Well, obviously, you know, Coach Wiggins does an amazing job. You mentioned the freshman, Tristan Beechler is his name. You know, and Asher Thompson, right, a very talented sophomore. He really impressed as a freshman like last year, inside, outside, tall, lanky, has great timing. I don't think too many people would argue if they're like end up in a couple weeks, if they, you know, because they don't play a lot of section teams early in the season. They think they're at the coast right now, so they like to travel around. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, in a couple weeks they're like a number three team.
Yeah. And in addition to the two players you mentioned, like, that's the beauty of what they have is, in my opinion, their two best long-term prospects and probably players are a freshman and a sophomore. But if you look at that junior group around him, Aiden Beechler is really coming into his own, strong physical guard. Liddell Farmer gives you additional size and length to kind of counterbalance with Asher. You've got guys like Tramell Emerson as well. I mean, they just got, you know, also system guys that understand their role. So I like their depth. I like their youth. I don't know if this is their year. I think next year is the year they have circled, you know, as far as really wanting to make some noise. But I think they're going to make a really strong push in the track this year. And they have pieces at every spot. They've got guard play. They've got perimeter play. And then they go inside, too, with Thompson and Farmer as well. And like you said, Asher's got a really, really well-rounded game.
No,
so
he
like
does.
In the top five.
Okay, I got to correct something really quick that I said. I said they don't usually play a lot of section teams early in the season. Well, they're playing in the Clovis West Nike Invite next week.
Yeah.
Probably my second favorite event besides Celand Arena. I'm going to wait for Phil Bonatti. We got an announcement which game we're going to do at that. He's coming on around 11:30, which game we're going to broadcast. But they're playing the Modesto Christian and the Nike Tournament of Champions in Arizona. So, yeah, you know what you're going to get from Clovis East. Tough-nosed kids. They play the game really, really hard, and this year's looking really strong. All right, so who do you got at number four?
At number four, I got Clovis West Golden Eagles. I know that obviously some big changes in the offseason, right? You know, new coaching staff coming in. I've known Podesta for a while since his days back at FCC as an assistant coach with Matic, and then obviously his time at Western Ranch. I think The team seems to be playing a little bit freer, you know what I'm saying, compared to under Vance. But at the same time, I think that that structure is still there. That style of play is still there. The accountability is still there. They obviously got the heavy hitters with DJ Stickman, recent Fresno State commit. I think this is going to be a big year for Jace Kellogg, kind of his emergence. And I think with the coaching shift, I think he seems to be a little bit freer and not as much stress on his style of play. They've got the great shooter in Spencer Cubitt, sophomore, who's, again, another one of those lights-out three-point shooters to follow up, you know, Cole and Jackson Young. And now this kid steps in. And then, again, good surrounding pieces. I like Lawrence Moore, their sophomore as well. The thing with Clovis West, I think, that I've seen so far, especially at the HOC Classic where they played against Inglewood, is scoring for them. Like, who's the legit bucket getter? You know what I mean? And DJ does so many things well, but one of his key attributes is not, you know, an elite scorer from all three levels. You know what I mean? And so I think that's going to be who's going to be the guy that steps up for them in the clutch time when you need buckets. That's where I saw a little bit of uncertainty from them in that Inglewood game. And I think that's going to be something that, that they have. But, again, I like their depth. I like their style of play. So I have them at number four.
And they actually lost their 6'9", Chris Bedreau, who's a junior last year. He transferred back to Bishop Gorman in Las Vegas. So a big loss in the middle of the paint for Clovis West. All right, so let's move on to your number three team.
Number three, I've got the Panthers, San Joaquin Memorial. I really think they are a team that could make a real strong push. I personally believe they are the team that can truly give St. Joseph's a push this year. They've got size. They got depth. Jackson Scarborough coming over from Clovis High gives them additional interior presence at 6'9". You've got Parker Spees really coming into his own as a 6'8 junior. I also really just like they've got a good senior punch with Julius Olawanju and Abe Potts. They've got guard play. They've got interior size. You know, Julius can do a lot of things offensively. He plays well at that high post position. You've also got, you know, again, other guys like Sanjay Sadu. You've got Silas as another point guard. Ty Shock as a freshman shooter. The younger Olawanju brother, too, Dominic, I think could be a real kind of hidden piece for them this year as a freshman. He's one of the top freshmen in the section. And so I just like the depth they have this year. And talking to Roz, he's really high on this team as well. Coach Roz looks at this team as, and I see it as the deepest team they've had since probably 2022.
Yeah.
The last time they played in a section championship. So I really do like their depth and size. I think it may take some time for them to truly gel because they still got a lot of young pieces, but I like what they're doing. And they had some really good, impressive runs in the fall, going 4-0 at a couple different big time fall, you know, preseason events. And so I think they have a chance to be a top one or two team, I think, by the end of when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I like this team a lot as well for the things that you mentioned. Hey, size isn't really an issue. Shooting might be a little bit, but not a glaring issue. Scoring won't be an issue. Man, and Parker Spees, one of the top juniors, I think, in the state, man. That dude, 6'8", inside, outside, plays underrated defense as well. These pieces are pretty darn nice for the Panthers.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why I started them off at three, just because, you know, and that kind of leads us into that number two spot. I do have Clovis North at number two to kind of start off right now. I feel like although they've lost some things with the graduation of, you know, Connor Amundson and Jordan Espinoza, two key senior pieces last year when they had their run to a Division I section title. But, you know, again, the core of that thing is still there. McKay, Lucas, and Elias Gish have really been the kind of key 1-2-3 punch for them. They've been winning nonstop. To me, they're already kind of playing middle-of-the-season basketball right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They've played a lot of fall basketball, I think close to like 35-plus games. And so they're a unit. They're in a gym. They're a program that is consistently working, and they do all the things well. I just think what everyone thought last year, size being an issue, I think even more so this year with Gus Swinning going to Kingsburg, and not having that strong, even though Jordan Espinoza was only 6'3", he played way bigger than 6'3". You know, just the physicality and the athleticism he brought. But right now, the way they're playing, I have them starting off the season at number 2, and they've been having some pretty impressive wins, specifically the win over Doherty Valley. I believe it was last Saturday in a tournament they played in. That's a pretty solid win. Doherty Valley is a pretty solid team up in NorCal. So I have them at number 2.
All right. So probably no drama for those that keep track of high school boys basketball. So number 1 team is, I'll let you have the word here on those guys.
Yeah, St. Joseph Knights. I mean, they're stacked this year. I mean, I know last year you had Tunde and you had Julius, and there was size components, but man, they've matured. They're a year older. The sophomore godson, Nayeda, he is impressive, man. He came to our freshman sophomore showcase back in late August and just was an absolute dominant force, 6'8 plus. He does a lot of things well. They've got the senior kid that transferred from overseas or moved from overseas last year. It wasn't cleared to play because he wasn't a freshman. Matos, he's about 6'6 plus, can shoot the lights out. I mean, they've got depth. They've got size. They've got elite players. Obviously, Tunde's the name, but Julius. And then Julius' little brother, too, Malcolm, has really, really come into his own. And so, to me, I just think, I mean, Ronnie Flores has him ranked in the top 35 nationally for his rankings. Max Preps has him, I think, top 20 nationally. So, I mean, they're a state and national powerhouse right now. And so it's really theirs to lose. And I think this year, even more so than last year, they don't really have anyone in their way. And that's why I think San Joaquin can give them the best go, just because they have size.
Just to follow up and, you know, going back to your article, NBNmagazine.com. Make sure you guys check it out. These rankings you're talking about and much, much more are on the website. So, yeah, Tunde, an absolute man-child at 6'6". The kid you mentioned, Matas, 6'7". Julius has nice size for a point guard at 6'3", and that dude is strong. Another 6'9" guy, another 6'9" guy. So those are the types of lineups that doesn't come along very often in the central section, right? I mean, it's almost seems like the coach is like, okay, guys, you guys beat us last year, speaking of Clovis North, but this year, man, it ain't going to happen. We're going all in.
You know, it really reminds me of 2 years ago when they won the section, right? And the team that tested them the most in their playoff run was San Joaquin, I think, in the second round. And they only lost by 2 on a couple free throws. And
a controversial call. That's right.
Yeah, I kind of see this year being the same, where I just feel like they're just going to be too physically imposing for most teams, because there's just not a ton of size and depth for most teams in the section.
Yeah, so I think you're right, right? As far as, again, we love Clovis North. Just had a great conversation with Tony Abinson. You know, he does a fantastic job. But as far as just kind of looking at the athletes, you would almost say, yeah, San Joaquin Memorial has the best shot at taking down a team like St. Joe's, who's nationally ranked.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so let's just do a quick snapshot then. Let's just go ahead and start at like 6 and go however long you want to, and just give us a snapshot, just synopsis of your 6 through, let's go 6 through 15.
Yeah, so I really like Bakersfield Christian kind of in that 6 spot. I think, again, they've got that senior leadership in a guard, and that's, we all know how essential a guard is to success. And to just overall having that stability at the lead guard spot for high school and college basketball. And Gabe Gutierrez, I think, is going to be the guy, obviously, for them this year. They don't have that 1-2 punch this year like they did last year with Bentley Waller and Gabe. But I think it'll also – I think there's more continuity this year because Gabe's the evident guy. And then the pieces around him, I really like the sophomore. Jeremiah Killebrew is really coming to his own, about 6'4". The big kid they got, Tywo as well, 6'8". He's developing nicely. They've got some other components around that are shooting well. They're really young. Like, to me, this BCHS team in a couple years may be similar to Clovis East, right? Because they've got a lot of really good freshman and sophomore talent on that roster. But having that lead guard in Gabe Gutierrez, and you've seen him over the years, even up in the playoffs a couple of years ago against Clovis North. You know, I mean, he's just a kid who can assert himself. And I think this year, him being the guy again will kind of settle things for the team around them. I think last year it was hard for the team, like is it Bentley or is it Gabe? And also they're playing a lot faster this year. So I really like BCHS at 6. Bullard I have at 7. Again, you got the 1-2 punch of Dalen Felder and Javance Coleman. James Miranda has really emerged for them as kind of another kind of key guy. Sean Smith-Sharkey is another junior shooter. He's been shooting really well from the three-point line, and I think that's perfect for the style of play around a guard like Javance, who likes to penetrate and kick. Having a guy that's a catch-and-shoot three like Sean is really good. And so I like Bullard there. Unfortunately, I think for Bullard, you know, last year they had additional size. And the defensive presence they lost from a guy like Jaleel Jackson at that guard spot, I think they're going to feel that a little bit more this year. And with San Joaquin gaining some size and some depth, them and Bullard not really, I can kind of see Bullard below San Joaquin this year. But I still, I mean, when you got two guards and specifically one like Felder that can score, when he gets on a heater, man, he can give you 30 like that, you know. So I like them at 7. I also feel like 6 through 10, there's a lot of interchangeability. Right after that, I got Buchanan, who I really like Buchanan as well. Again, they've got size in the big kid, Braden Harris, 6'8", more of a traditional big, back to the basket, you know, collects boards. I really love what Connor Sheets does for them. I mean, that kid is just impressive, Paul. He's so much fun to watch. He shoots with confidence. He plays with confidence. He can facilitate. He rebounds well. They're kind of similar to Bakersfield Christian for me in a sense of they have a dude at the guard spot that's a senior, that's a veteran, you know, that can provide that punch, but then they've got good surrounding pieces. They play well. They're very structured in how they play for Orlick, you know, and so I like them at the kind of the 8th spot somewhere in there. After them, I do really like Roosevelt, too. I got a chance to see them last weekend against Clovis. Clovis is another kind of really young, up-and-down, run-and-gun style of team right now. They've got some new pieces that I like, but I do like Roosevelt. They had the kid that was at Hanford West transfer in, Darian Wheaton. I think gives them a little bit more versatility in the perimeter. The sophomore Kobe Post is really starting to come into his own as kind of a wing slasher forward that kind of, you know, plays both ends really well, alters shots, rebounds well, can score it from all three levels fairly well. And then James Miller to me is just, he's really maturing as a lead guard. He's showing me more that when the shot's not falling, maybe facilitate more, find other guys, still be a playmaker, you know? And so I like Roosevelt in that mix too.
Paul, really quick, I like Miller. I got to see him in person, and then Postis, who you mentioned, kind of tall, lanky, sophomore, lefty. But Miller, that guy's a dude. He's got a nice body to him. I looked up his stats, I think, last night. I think he's averaging close to 6 assists as well. So, keep an eye on Roosevelt. That's an intriguing team.
It really is. And, again, he's got so much shift to his game, and he's fun to watch, you know, and especially, like you said, the assist numbers. And I had a conversation with him that day at the facility at Fresno Christian last week where I saw you. I just said, hey, man, that's how you got to be this year. Like, if the shots aren't falling, don't force it, because at the next level, that's what they're going to need.
You know
what I mean? They're not going to necessarily need a 25-point a game guy. They're going to need someone who can control the flow of the offense. And so it's always great to see players kind of mature as well, too. And then a team kind of after that, I had Frontier in my top 10. I still think they're a quality top 15 team in the Central section. They did lose one the other night to Hanford. Hanford is going to be a team to keep an eye on as well. They got some transfers in, the main one being Remy Barnes. I think that's going to be an intriguing team. But Frontier, I like a lot with Zach Garnett. Okay, he just really anchors them at 6'6". They've got the other big kid, Dolan Crawford, who's 6'7". They got a good 1-2 punch there. Their guard play, they don't have a lot of depth, but I think in the South Valley, Frontier will be a pretty solid team. And then to kind of round out the discussion on some of these top, you know, these next kind of 10 to 15 is Bakersfield High School is back. in a fun way. And I think that's good for basketball in the South Valley, which makes basketball better overall for the Central section. I had a chance to see Bakersfield High a few times. They had a coaching change over the summer as well, bringing in Wes Davis, who was the state championship coach for Foothill High School in 2019. They got the transfer, Cade Johnson from Stockdale High School. They're athletic. RJ Sheehy, which is Coach Sheehy, the Bakersfield Drillers football coach's son. He's a freshman point guard, and I tell you what, Paul, this kid is—he's got the goods. He reminds me a lot of some of these really good lead guards that have come in as freshmen, controlled the flow of things, and they put it on South Bakersfield the other night. And I thought South Bakersfield was one of the top three teams in Bakersfield, and they beat them convincingly. They were by almost 30 at one point.
Wow!
So I think Bakersfield High is a team to also kind of keep an eye on. And then lastly, like I really like Fresno Christian. Fresno Christian has a lot of size. They got good depth. They've got shooters. They've got guard play. Aiden Milwee for them is,
yeah,
I think, their kind of top shooting guy for them. You got Devin Gaines. I like their depth, and I think as a small school in a lower division, they're going to have a chance to make some noise depending on where they're seated at in the playoffs come. But I really like those, and that's probably the kind of the core teams that I've seen so far that I like, that I think kind of round out that top 15.
Good job by you, Paul. We got just about another 30 seconds or so. So I know that Hoover, looking forward to watching them play this year. Sanger's got,
yes,
an intriguing team, a couple dudes. Redwood has a couple good players. Kingsburg does as well. So lots of good stuff this year in the boys' version of the Central Section basketball. Obviously, girls is a whole another thing as well. But, Paul, great job as always, man. Make sure that you guys follow him on Twitter. Give us your Twitter address really quick so people can know where to find you.
Yeah, so the Twitter handle is @T_33. Or if you just look in 661 Hoops, it'll pop up as well. But yeah, that's the best way to stay up on content. Like I said, next week I'm going to update my rankings. You got some big events next week: Clovis West tournament, the Lloyd Williams tournament here in Bakersfield, and actually Morro Bay's HIT tournament is actually really, really good this year. Got a couple of Fresno teams in there, like Central and Roosevelt and stuff. So really, really intriguing week next week. I might wait till the week and then do the rankings after that, actually.
Yeah, there's lots of good stuff happening. So, Paul, thank you for all the great content that you put out there for everybody. And I appreciate you. I'll run into you soon.
Yeah, I'll see you this next week over at Clovis West for sure. You have a great day, Paul. Appreciate
all right, you too, goals. My friend. All right, that's Paul Hernandez. Does a fantastic job. We got Phil Bonatti. He is live here in person at First String Sports. We got so much stuff to talk about. We need a full hour and a half, but we're going to have about 25 minutes or so with Phil coming up next on 1430 ESPN. All right, we got our last segment here. Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Thank you guys for listening. Transitioning from football to basketball. Paul Hernandez was just on, and he does a fantastic job with the rankings. And, you know, it's still early. Still early in the basketball season, and it's late in the football season. We've got some really good college matchups today. Still not used to Oregon, right?
Yeah.
Penn State for a championship game in the conference. That's just odd to me. But we got Phil Bonatti live here at First String. Great, Phil. Awesome. And does a fantastic job behind the bench. Every afternoon was my partner in crime during the football season. Broadcasted 13 football games together. So we saw a lot of football, talked a lot of football. And, Phil, let's just dive right in, man.
All right.
So you got a kind of a unique perspective on the new Fresno State football hire with Matt Entz. Just real quick, initial reactions to the hire.
It's fascinating because I kind of knew he was a guy that was going to find a job like this in some capacity. And my perspective is a unique one, of course, from everybody else who may know who he is or may not know who he is. Of course, it was a coach I was covering extensively for 5 years out of Bismarck, North Dakota. We'd have the Fargo station help us out there as well, and they would cover the entire NDSU Bison situation. And I always thought he had a good head on his shoulders, but of course he always kind of felt like a guy who was looking for a little bit more. And it was a little bit of a surprise for him to go take that USC assistant job. And that was when I was still in North Dakota, and everyone kind of was reacting to that. And then you knew that kind of felt like the step he needed to get to a position like this. I didn't know it was going to be Fresno State because, of course, before even last year, we were sitting here thinking Tedford's the guy who's going to keep rolling and rolling with this program for as long as he can go. And obviously it was a lot shorter than we expected. And here we are. Matt Entz, head coach of Fresno State.
I mean, if I read this right or heard this right, so that would, if you, you know, count exactly when Tedford stepped down and Skipper took over, what, three head coaches within a six-month period?
Correct.
Right? You know, Tedford was all these things?
Yeah. Tedford was running the offseason. He was running the spring camp. He was running the summer program. All that kind of stuff, you know. He was gearing up for the season. So, yeah, basically from January to now, which I guess you could say, yeah, it all the way basically until when he stepped down in July. Yeah, you're right, July to December, three new coaches.
Okay, so we'll come back to Coach Entz in just a second, but a lot of reaction, mm-hmm. right? We love our Bulldogs. We love players that come back to the Central Valley, like Tim Skipper.
Yeah.
Right? He's an undersized guy, but the son of a coach, and so you know you're going to get that toughness. You're going to know you're going to get the awareness on the field, and he's just so darn likable, right? Mm-hmm. I've met him a few times, had just a couple casual conversations, always positive, smiling, we'll shake your hand, look you in the eye, all that stuff. So there's that angle to it, right? And that's hard. It's hard for the players. I've heard a few stories about how, you know, they just they wanted Skip,
yeah,
right? Team Skip. So What can you say about that angle, with Coach Skipper losing basically his dream job?
Well, you know, one of the things I always kind of notice with this Fresno State fan base, and I'm part of it for sure. We're all fans here.
You're an alum.
Fiercely protective, yes, of the Bulldog-born, Bulldog-bred aspect of our program. And to an extent where you got to be in on that situation before we can even trust you into that situation.
Sure.
And Skipper got that golden ticket basically because he was a guy who played in the program under Coach Hill and knew exactly what was expected out of him every time he stepped on that field at Bulldog Stadium. And so that perspective was always going to be an advantage for him if he was going to be in that position to coach. And I think a lot of players understood and respected what he stood for. I thought he was a very good motivator. I thought he was a very good, a positive energy around the program, despite some really lackluster performances in some situations. And unfortunately, to me, I think those outweigh what the personality of Coach Skipper was and is. And even to the extent of, I think he's such a stand-up guy because he's going to be coaching the bowl game. Coach Garrett Classy, AD, announced that at the presser on Thursday, and he's taken the high road on that. But sometimes it's just not about the personality when it comes to coaching football. It also matters when it comes to coaching the game. And to me, I think there were some things that were lacking a little bit from this season, and obviously that's where Garrett Classy and Jimenez Sandoval decided to go in that direction.
All right, so do you think, though, that Skip, like, had a fair shot at getting the job? I don't know. You could tell me what you know, right?
I
don't know
did.
The interview process and all that.
I think he certainly did. I think the record, if it was a two more wins, I think,
sure,
there was a real legitimate conversation to have there. I think he had as good a shot as anybody. I know it was an unusual circumstance to take over with about 3 weeks before Michigan, so clearly that's a hard situation to take over and try to just, you know, keep the ship afloat in a sense. And we got to a bowl game, so in that sense, keeping the ship afloat in some
maybe
sense
in Boise.
There. Yeah, maybe in Boise we're hearing some things for a bowl game. But, I do believe he did get a fair shake at this season. And I always kind of figured with the new athletic director coming in, it was going to be an uphill battle anyway because Classy didn't hire Wahlberg, right? And so he was looking for his first big hire to have his stamp on. Not saying Skipper was dead to rights, but I know Garrett Classy probably wanted to make a really important decision in his first big decision here. And I think he went about it the right way. He mentioned that Tedford and Hill and DeBoer were talked to in this entire conversation of who could be the possible replacement. And so I think he went about it the right way, and I did think Skipper got the fair shake.
Yeah, right. I mean, just lots of stuff to unpack. You know, I've mentioned a few times on the show, right? We love our Bulldogs, and mm-hmm. I'm glad you said that. You get it, right? You're in love with the school. Took off for a while, and now you're back in. You are immersed, yeah. so to speak. So you get it. And, yeah, right, is it almost a case, too, you think, Phil, of just get over the initial reactions, the feelings, right? The alumni coming out and saying, man, my money's going to stop coming in. Mm-hmm. We're seeing all the transfers, right? We're reading it on Twitter. Oh, there goes another guy. There goes another guy. Right? You think it's a case where come February, March, and then the summer, like people kind of like come back to their senses, so to speak, and like, okay, yeah, time for some Bulldog football. Let's see what this guy can do.
Well, I don't think the fan base has a choice. This is the decision that has been made, sure. and we are going down that road no matter what you feel about it in certain situations. So why not back the guy? That's kind of where I sit with this situation. Nothing's going to change moving forward now. He's the guy going into the Pac-12 in a year from now. Yeah. So I just think it's important to back a coach like this. And I think a lot of players – I'm curious what they'll react to when they get to meet Coach Entz. And I think that's a situation that is still developing. I think the transfer portal, like I said, is a door, but the door stays open behind you. We saw it with Hayner a couple years ago with Coach Tedford coming back. So I do believe there is a lot of Entz is going to hit the ground running when he comes back here on Monday, and I'm curious to see what kind of convincing he can do.
And the trust factor is huge, right? And I've seen video clips, right? I've tried to watch as much of the press conference and interview friends of 6 and 24, right? And you guys have done a great job covering Entz and the Skipper situation. And, right, we're all testing this guy out, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. We want to trust him as well. But the players trusting him, right, is huge. Like, it's, you know, what can you do for me? How can you make me a better football player? Well, this is how I'm going to make you a better football player.
Yeah.
Right? These are the steps. They want to hear that, right? Mm-hmm. They're still, you know, 18 to whatever, 23-year-old kids. They still thrive in structure when it's given to them, right, being in education all these years, right? That is huge. Mm-hmm. Kids want to be coached. They want to be taught. They crave that structure, right?
Yeah, I think so, too. And one thing people are going to learn about Coach Entz, and I don't know if you noticed in the presser, I don't know if you watched the full 45 minutes or whatever it was, he dove into some X's and O's and strategic side that you don't normally really see in an opening press conference. The opening press conference is just you trying to get to know
sure.
the guy. But that guy wanted to talk X's and O's. Coach Entz wanted to talk X's and O's more than anybody and what he wants to do with the offense and defensive side. And to me, that indicates, and what I know from him being an NDSU, is he knows the game a lot, and he's going to make our players a lot smarter when it comes to the game, because that guy will talk ball better than anybody, in my opinion, almost like a Coach Hill in a sense, yeah. in that same sense, where they're just breaking it down, and they're going to see what they see, and I think they live and breathe by the X's and O's in the most part. Not saying that Coach Skipper wasn't deficient in that. I thought he's a really good evaluator, a really good guy to develop guys. We saw it clear and evident from Skipper's positional group. Phoenix Jackson, a walk-on guy, and now he's going to go play.
He's going to be
making
some money.
Yeah, he's going to be making some money at a Power 4 school, and I always kind of anticipated him leaving eventually anyway. So I think Coach Entz is going to be a very fascinating figure when it comes to what kind of conversations, X's and O's, that those kids are going to have with him. And if he's a guy, which I do believe, is one of those guys that says, hey, this is what the NFL looks for. You learn the mental things I teach you. That's an aspect of
yeah. And from what I saw, he's the plan, got structure, good. You and I had a great time this year broadcasting
yeah.
games. Coach Hill joined us for, what, 6 of those games, I believe.
Yeah, he had a good amount.
Yeah, a good amount. So, Yeah, tons of stuff to talk about, kind of wrapping up the season. We got some state playoff games, obviously, in front of us. What were, like, some standout things? Like to you this year, either a play or a player that you got to watch and talk to, or maybe even a game. What are some?
Well, I mean, no doubt in my mind, I don't think there's anything that's going to match what our first game was the entire season with Edison Huntington Beach and Clovis West starting off. J.J. Howard, right, the quarterback who, you know, was going through some learning curves through this season, being a young freshman kid. But I thought that was a really nice way to start the season off because it kind of showed me a lot of how crazy high school football can be, especially with how each half ended. And I Coach Hill was losing it a little bit with how crazy it was going. And I know he was talking about how both teams deserve to win and everything like that. That's the first moment I can think of as far as our season, of course. Other big moments, I think of the track championship, basically the track championship game, it felt like, between North and East. And the heroic nature of McKay Madsen's performance compared to just the machine-like efficiency that East was playing along, and the way that blew up at the end of the right in the third quarter, I want to say. And then, of course, the Central upset as well. Madera. Hanging with Sanger as well. I thought that was a really great game for Madera to hang their hats on.
That was a fun one, yeah.
And despite it being very, very long, I thought they really hung with it there as well. I could go on, but those are some of the games that stand out to me.
So you had the pleasure of bringing in a student athlete of the week every week.
Yeah.
And it's going to keep going till the end of the school year, which is awesome with the, you know, seeing the kids
the
with
basketball,
their big old check. Yeah right? And
we're looking for nominees for basketball, by the way.
We do. Well, yeah. how do we go about that? Give the people some ideas of how we go about nominating.
Yeah, it's all right there on the website, 1430ESPNFresno.com, Student Athlete of the Week tab. Just click it, follow that link, and it'll give you a little something for how you can you nominate, you're first on the list of being a possible nominee there.
And so. I see your emails to all the to all the dignitaries out there. All right, so who are some kids, right? I think you had McKay Madsen on your show.
We did.
Like, who are some guys that really or gals that stood out to you? It's just being impressive kids.
Yeah, we had a Clovis North to start with the volleyball side. Kayla Sutton, of course. We were highlighting volleyball a little bit there at the top, but some great stories out there. I mean, I could name them all, but what I'm most appreciative of is that we definitely got all of them into the studio some point.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Well, hats off to the coaches for taking the time to drive the kids.
I appreciate that. I think that was
a
big
Corcoran kid, right?
Lindsay. We had a Lindsay kid and a Corcoran kid. Jose Cortez, Julian Fernandez, Corcoran, Jose Cortez. But which, by the way, Lindsay, I think.
They're in the state championship.
Yep. They're in the state championship. We'll see what they do. There's great story. It kind of comes full circle with some of these players, too. I had a Jacob Hernandez from Selma. Now he's playing for a state tournament.
I sense a theme here, Phil. Get on the show and go far in the section of the state playoffs.
Exactly. But then there's some, you know, I think there's some really good names as well. And the kids themselves were really good interviews as well. I remember how great Adrian Torres was of Kerman's side as well. He's going to be playing in a state game today, right, against Sonora. Really, Noah Tossi, even from a couple days ago. A shout out to Kalinga. I know that was a tough loss for them. I saw the end of that game, but I think they got to be appreciative of how that season went for them.
14-0. It's one of those teams that's going to be talked about for generations.
Yeah,
right? I was a part of that 14-0 Central Section Championship team. This close to beating a team from SoCal, right?
Yeah.
Hang your hat on that. How about basketball?
Yeah, that's right.
I teased it a little bit, Phil. So you got an announcement. We're doing a game this week, right?
We are.
At least 10 games, including Celand Arena.
Yeah, we've got our games somewhat set. We're waiting on kind of final approval for some of the later stuff. But I think it's safe to say we know what we're going to do on Wednesday. And that's going to be Clovis East versus Bullard at the Clovis West Nike, what is it called, Invite or Nike?
Nike Shootout.
Nike Shootout. Like, yeah. I got to make sure I get it right before Wednesday.
And it's one of my favorite events of the year. I love Celand Arena. That's tops for me.
Yeah.
But the hospitality is fantastic at Clovis West. We get our own little stage with a backdrop as we're right there on top of the action in the corner. The opposite way is food, right?
Hospitality.
So you can get your grub and sit down and watch some basketball. So I got to say, Phil, it's quite an event, and it's one that, where I just kind of hang, man. I watch basketball, eat some food.
There you go.
And broadcast some games. Nothing better.
8 p.m. is going to be our
game. A little bit later.
So a little bit later. I think it's the nightcap of the game in the West Gym, I think they play in. There's two gyms.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, so the East Gym is to the east, ironically enough.
And hopefully people appreciate – I don't know. I like calling basketball. It's a little bit different than football. So
a tidy hour and 30 minutes.
I like it. I'll take it. It's quarters, right, by the way? I always get confused.
I'll help you out, Phil.
Yeah, you know, because every state's got a different rule to the whole thing. I know North Dakota, the upper classes, the top classes did halves, and the lower classes did quarters. So
8 minute quarters.
All right.
35-second – or, yeah, 35-second shot clock.
Great. Love a shot clock.
Got to have the shot. And last year, I remember there was some game, and you probably saw it, the end, high school game ended in 4-2.
Yeah.
And they did it on purpose,
ridiculous.
Right? It's just, that's not even basketball.
No.
All right, got about another minute here with Phil Bonanni. You're going to, what time is it? 11:54.
Mm-hmm.
You got in a little more than 12 hours, you're going to be somewhere different tomorrow. What do you got, man? I'm a little jealous.
I'm going to be going to the Rams game tomorrow at 1:25 kick. I'm going to try to get down there at around like 10:30 or so to SoFi. It's going to be a little bit early for me tomorrow morning, but I'm going to see Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills take on the Los Angeles Rams. Big game on Fox. I think you can watch it. No, I think the Niners are going to be local. But
Better not be.
Yeah, you got that.
I don't have the package.
Yeah.
I'm not an NFL ticket guy.
I don't know. We'll see. If you got the red zone, you can probably see some plays of it.
So you have never seen Josh Allen?
I've never seen Josh Allen. Well, no, I have seen him play in Wyoming. I did see him play at Wyoming, but other than that, I've not seen him play in the NFL yet.
What's your press credentials going to get you to?
I hope there's some pregame field access. Watch him warm up, get a little video, and then SoFi press room. Always got good food up there, by the way. They hook you up if you're up in the press corps. So, and then I'll probably go to the post-game presser with see Josh and maybe try to get a fireball question in there. I don't know. We'll see.
That'd be fantastic. Oh, man. I'm jealous. I'm happy for you. That's going to be a great thing. I can't wait to see all the cool social media that you're going to post at that event.
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff, Phil. Thank you for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
All right. Thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, First String Sports, Jeremiah Cunningham for producing the show, Gabe Camarillo, Tony Abinson, Paul Hernandez, and, of course, Phil, who just joined me. A great week of high school sports. A lot of Fresno State talk. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hey, have a great weekend, everybody, and we will talk to you soon.